Hello and welcome to another episode of Loose Cannon. I knew there was something. We didn't fail when we had Elemis on. We didn't fail. There's second we come back though. Oh, so close.
That's the trick. We gotta have Elemis on more because. I mean, yeah. he even did a prediction.
Yeah, he had an accurate prediction. Season of the Witch. We said it. You heard it here first. Unless he mentioned it on the Guardians of Lore podcast, in which case you would have heard it there first. but, you know, you heard it here first. Good enough. And actually, we've had quite the season. We're going to be talking about the season today, and yep. I'm just going through my notes trying to find where the start was, because I take notes now on the seasons to kind of have like talking points on episodes or on every episode, although this is just first impressions. I think it's been a great season so far. I'm very excited to talk about it and to get more into it as well.
Yeah, I concur.
Yeah. Well, so then, why don't we just jump right off with the lore card this week?
Okay, sounds good. All right. So
I forgot the intro. You're probably waiting on that intro. Brought to you from Destiny Armory Defined, our favorite sponsor. I always forget to do that now. I did that the one time that I loved it, and I was like, "That's great! I'm going to do that every time."
It's funny.
Out of my head.
Yeah, so this wasn't this last week. This was the week prior, but I thought it would be kind of relevant because we have the final shape coming up, and I thought this was a neat... what I found about this one was kind of neat, which I'll talk about at the end. Mm-hmm. So when you pre-order the game, you get, you know, a couple items, and one of them is this... it's Tessellations.
Mm-hmm.
It has a really unique perk, I guess is what you'd call that, or ability, whatever the feature
for
of guns, the
gun. It's perks.
Yeah, well, this one does this neat visual thing.
Oh,
right. So when you choose to consume a grenade, it turns into like this polygonal shape and then morphs into like an orb that gets sucked up into the gun, and then you can shoot it out from the gun and it will become whatever elemental like whatever you're using as an element in your subclass. So like it'll shoot out as void or, you know, whatever, stasis, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it'll be and then it comes out like a shot that's like a really devastating grenade launcher type of shot, and it does a ton of damage.
So I don't actually have this. Is this a grenade launcher? I thought it was a fusion rifle.
It is, but when you suck your grenade up in it, it becomes sort of like a grenade launcher.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And just off the bat, like right off the bat, just visually, it's a really interesting gun visually. Because it seems to combine a lot of themes, a lot of themes. Just like right off the bat, you know, you see the little, like the claws that are wrapped around the handle with the like weird wavy, I don't know what that would be, stuff coming off. And then there's this like tassel and string that's been kind of hung off of it. And then in the front, there's like a whole bunch of needles. Mm-hmm. Which I'm assuming would have to be a part of the like fusion rifle charging up and then shooting out of those needles where it combines and somehow. And then inside the barrel that would be rotating, there's all of these little pyramids. And so when you're using the gun, the effects start to like flicker and kind of like tap back and forth. And then the top, obviously the top, the shell, the most like noticeable part is the colored pyramid look, you know, like the pyramid that was shot by the Traveler has the colored effect. It looks like it has been glassed. If you're familiar with that theme in sci-fi, when something gets glassed, it's when something has been shot with a particle beam that created so much heat that the surface of the entire whatever it was shot with, or whatever you shot, becomes like glass, right? And so when the Traveler shot the pyramid, all of that debris and parts of the pyramid flayed out into like this rainbow glass architecture that just shot through it. And so that's what I think they're going for as far as like the aesthetic of the gun. And then obviously the claws and whatnot have some of that, how Nezarak looked, some of that theme just without the red turkey suit.
So that fringe on the like handle section there, can I tell you what it reminds me of? Because I was ow.
Please.
Oh, I just banged my fucking heel against my chair leg. It immediately makes me think of the darkness symbol from the Vow of the Disciple. It's in the top row, if you're watching live.
Wow. That's cool.
And then so similarly, the knowledge symbol is kind of on the that top the glass, as you called it, section,
Oh, definitely,
where you
definitely.
have like these like spathes of color. And then you also notice inside the knowledge symbol is the white circle with the black circle inside. And then in
Oh, yeah,
front
and it's right
of,
there.
yeah, in front of, it's also there above the tassels.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Way to go.
So I
Yeah, so.
it feels like they really took a lot of pyramid inspiration for it.
Definitely. So the unique thing about this gun, we'll get into, but the unique thing about this gun aesthetically is just like you said, it combines what may lie ahead in the final shape. And so just like we
Wait a
see
fucking
every
second.
what
Is there a labyrinth on the front of that? Above the front
where?
tassel? In that little
Oh,
square?
the little concentric circles. I don't know.
Is it just concentric? Is it just
Yeah,
circles? Okay.
I think it's just circles so
It's a little
far.
hard to see. You have it in the game, so you
Yeah.
can do the little 3D inspection. I don't have
Yeah.
it in game. Do me a favor after this, when you're the next time you're playing, check it out. Because if
Okay.
there's a fucking
Yeah.
labyrinth on there as well, I will lose my
You're gonna
shit.
lose it. Oh, you're gonna fly too close to the sun. So yeah, just thematically and as a whole, if you look at all of the aesthetic of this weapon, you can kind of glean what may lay ahead in the next big thing, right? And so we know a few things about the final shape teaser. We know that it's going to be inside the Traveler. We know that on one end, it's going to be everything that's like all the architecture and inside of it's going to look like stuff we've encountered on our journey to become Legend. So like there's a big giant ghost and this like weird surrealistic environment that's comprised of stuff that we roamed through as we were, growing our power. Like there's a little parts of old Russia in there, stuff like that. And then as you start to journey across the long Traveler inside where the Pale Heart would be, you go to the other end where it seems like the witness has set up shop, and he has this massive monolithic castle looking architecture. And the closer you get to it, the weirder things get, is what they said. And there's like geometry just poking out of nowhere. There's huge hands that you have to scale and climb. There's rocky surfaces with faces on them, and like stone that's been sliced. All the stuff that we're familiar with inside of like pyramids, and then like animal shapes that are just weird. And so we don't know what's inside yet, obviously, but the closer you get, the weirder it gets. And so just looking at this gun, because this gun is just like we get guns before the next big expansion, this gun seems to tie in a lot of that, what lays ahead, just like the weapon we got
Quicksilver.
for life. Yeah, Quicksilver. So you got to understand that, oh, this weapon is real mysterious at a time, and you're like, well, why is it called Quicksilver? What the heck? And then we learned all about it. So
Yeah, and then we
maybe.
continue to learn more about it as the seasons went on with all
Yeah.
those what are they? The Veil logs.
Yes, the veil containment.
Yeah, Veil
Yeah.
containment logs, yeah.
Yeah. And so
Or
maybe they're going to do this with that too, and I'm really excited about it. So let's get into the gun so that we don't eat up all the time.
yeah, of course, of course.
So it's called tessellations. It's the art of interlocking patterns. The Latin root or origin word is tessella, which means small tile or block. This is where they're playing with the word. So this is what the word means in the world of Destiny. There is a type of tessellation that's known amongst people that, do like 3D modeling and game development and stuff like that. And it's called 3D tessellation. It's the dividing of polygons, aka vertex sets, into suitable structures for rendering.
Man, that sounds exactly
Especially,
like what the Witness does. Dividing
especially
polygons,
for,
man.
there you
Sorry.
go. Especially for real-time rendering, it's information data that's tessellated into triangles. So if you really kind of pick up on that, you get an idea of what the witness is kind of doing when they are trying to create the final shape, which is this perfect geometry that just winnows the universe into a final shape,
And they
which
really
is
thought about
calcified.
this gun.
They
Sorry.
really did.
It's just,
Yeah.
you just keep going deeper into it. It's like, holy shit, wait.
So we have to talk about where the root of tessellation came from. So I brought it up. The Latin word origin derived from tessera, meaning a small square or a cube. It's often used in ancient Roman construction and mosaics, to which the word tessellation evolved from. Over time, the term tessellation came to specifically denote the practice of creating patterns using repeating interlocking shapes. This was inspired by the idea of arranging individual tiles or blocks in an organized manner. So, if you've ever looked at like mosaics with a very strict pattern, or almost like a textile would have, you can see what they're talking about. So, like if you've ever seen pretty tiles that are arranged in a specific pattern to create a large, larger pattern, that's a tessellation. So tessellations are also known as tiling, and this is the art form of creating that pattern. And so if you repeat these interlocking arrangements of geometric shapes, then you have a really large, beautiful final piece that that's the art of it. So the cool thing about tessellations is that they can be traced all the way back to ancient civilizations such as the Egyptians, Greeks, Romans. And it shows how these cultures understood the beauty and precision that could be achieved by carefully arranging repeated shapes. So if you look at even the pyramids, you can kind of see those as a type of tessellation in a way. Obviously hieroglyphics on the walls, and then repeated patterns. And then as it goes into Greek and Roman times, those are the histories that we have a good understanding of. I mean, obviously, there are, apocalyptic cultures that we are now learning about too that seem to have had the same ideas as well. But these are the ones we really know about. One of the most famous examples of early tessellations can be found in a stunning mosaic or it's of the Alhambra in Granada, Spain. It showcases the interlocking geometric patterns. And if you look at this bu building, it's really beautiful. It's like there's mosaics over the entire thing. And I mean, it's just amazing what humans can do, especially at that time with the tools that they had. It probably took who knows how long to do this thing. But it's got all these corridors and archways that have tessellations all over them and mosaics on the floor and on the ceiling. So that's tessellations, but they're not just aesthetically pleasing. They have a really important job in the world of geometry and science. But as the art world bleeds over into science, you know, there are a few like notable artists that used it, like M.C. Escher. You know, he's known for his beautiful sky and water or reptiles and his metamorphosis art pieces, which show tessellations turning from one shape into another, which would be like a bird that turned into, you know, a fish or sky that turns into water, and you can see the morph as it goes across. And so that's a really cool thing because this artist who was based in like math figured out a way to take shapes and really kind of, you know, bring a surrealism to your world. And I think a little bit of that is being played with in the Bungie world as well. So I know there's some artists out there that probably work for Bungie that were trying to incorporate some of the themes into here. Especially when you think in regards to like the Witness and all the pyramid ships specifically. So just to go on, tessellations appear in everything, you know, from fashion design to unique buildings to creating architecture, basically to create any kind of visually striking facade, you know, that shows like a sense of depth. The advancement of digital tools, however, has brought a whole new world to tessellations, and this is where we really manipulate shapes, colors, and arrangements in software. Artists use a type of digital tessellation which create polygonal shapes. The 3D tessellations and space-filling polyhedra are patterns that result from recurrent arrangement of convex polyhedra, meaning face to face and covering the space without any gaps or overlapping. And so you see this in origami, 3D software, modeling, and gaming. And I threw it up, but if you think about it, these tessellations that we're using in game, so this is like fourth wall breaking, right? These tessellations that we have this whole game, the whole game is made out of tessellations. So even your guardian, your weapon, your architecture, the world around you, if you think about it and debase it, so now you've kind of figured out, oh crap, wait a minute, this is fourth wall breaking because now if you think about it, we're just manipulating the actual geometric makeup of our guardian's environment. So in a sense you're like, you know, you're, I don't know, you're just creating matter out of nothing, right? And so my mind immediately went to this old thing, which was the you know, obviously the shapes that we're familiar with in game, like the engram, which is the dodecahedron. And then some of the pyramid shapes like the tetrahedron, obviously cubes for glimmer, and then the ones in between, which would make up a lot of the other things that we've dealt with. Some are showing up in elemental abilities and whatnot. But so I know this was really long-winded, but the cool thing about this gun is when you take your grenade from your elemental ability and you absorb it into the fusion rifle, it changes into this really cool geometric shape. It starts off very polygonal, but then it turns into like a very rounded, orby shape that has a bunch of little orbs surrounding it. And depending on the elemental class you're using, it's that color, obviously, and it has like a little bit of a tweak to it.
And you mean the grenade itself, correct?
Yes, the grenade itself. gets absorbed by the gun and then becomes a really powerful shot. And as that process is happening, your left hand comes out of nowhere, and you just like you see your hand materialize this matter from your light, and then you see it just jump from your hand into the gun, and it does this like teleport thing in real time, and it just like geometrically changes into a shape that gets sucked up into the gun. Yeah, there
Yeah,
you go.
yeah. So I've been looking. I also have a stasis one or a strand one, but it's basically the same thing. It's that shape, just green. So the image on screen is good enough. I was, as you were talking, I couldn't help but like feel like this was really trying to. This weapon, the telestation, was really trying to like illustrate the philosophy of the witness, because if the telestation name means to like separate like the polygons like that, and that is something that the witness believes, and in that separation it's also calcification, not just let's cut everything up. And then at the top here you have knowledge, and then at the base there you have darkness. It's like the calcification learned through the knowledge of the darkness. And I was wondering, shouldn't there be light involved in this in some way? And I was, so you said, does the gun itself look different when it's loaded with a grenade?
That's interesting. I did not study that. No, I don't know.
Okay. I thought that's what you said at the start of this, but you were probably
Oh,
talking about the grenade.
no. Yeah, I was just talking about how the grenade changes shape, but then
Yeah, how the
like
grenade
the
turns to
overall,
this.
yeah, the overall gun as you're just holding it, it'll like move a little bit. It has like some animation to it. And so like the little pyramids run around inside the barrel,
Okay.
and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay. 'Cause I couldn't see anything that would that felt like it should be going on screen now. That felt like it represented the light aspect. I know the knowledge and the light are kind of very like close together, but they are still different. So I was
Yeah, I
trying to
would.
like solidify it, but I still think it tells a bit of the philosophy.
Absolutely. And I mean the fact that you use your light to get, it sucks up your light into the gun.
Or
Might be
dark.
that missing piece or dark, yeah. That gets sucked up into the gun is kind of manipulating matter in a way. Just like the witness does, they manipulate matter and create it. Yeah, exactly. It, I guess, IT capitalized it is what we're figuring out in the lore. It,
Yeah, sometimes
the
the witness likes to
mini.
dress as a clown. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Oh, crap. If we see a red balloon somewhere.
And actually, I would go crazy for that. That'd be fucking
Yeah.
awesome.
We do have that emote. The
I love
it dance emote.
It's probably like one of the most like basic things to say, but I love when monsters are like tulpa, like thought form horrors, and it's just like, yeah, what are you afraid of? That's me now. Like I'm like, yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, so I mean, getting the lore explanation for guns sometimes does this to you. And so I thought this was a neat one because there's the definition, right?
Yeah.
Which is just kind of like, but when you really start to incorporate it into the world of Destiny, you start to kind of glean this picture of like, what are they trying to say? And what does this imply? What does this mean? And you start to understand, like, there's a whole other element to what we might be seeing coming up ahead. The payoff for the Quicksilver gun wasn't that spectacular. However, it did kind of, in the long term, give us a better understanding of Quicksilver in itself and how SIVA worked and how the Cloud Striders used that technology and how it, really kind of was playing into their like degeneration and whatnot and all that cool stuff. So if this is any kind of insight into the world that we're about to step into in the final shape, maybe we're going to see something that kind of shows us how we can manipulate matter, just like the witness does. And maybe I'm just speculating here, but maybe we'll learn something that allows us to manipulate the matter around us, almost like a forge.
That'd be
Destiny
cool.
enables forge mode.
That would be something. Obviously I'm not expecting that at all.
No, obviously not. Yeah, it would be Fortnite building.
Yeah. Huh. I
Anyway,
am
here we are.
kind of in a similar vein before we start getting into the season itself. I swear there was a reason that this made sense in my head before, but I forgot how this segued into it. Going into the future of the final shape and after the final shape, like we've seen, we recently got we actually got two exotics that kind of help illustrate this. And I've been saying it for a while. I hope Bungie stops. They stops with the new subclass elements. Like we have Stasis, Strand. Sure, give us a third just to like round it out, so we have three of each, and then that's it. And then, when you want to like add more, you add new supers, you add new melees, you add new grenades, things like that, where it's like you just make it deeper, not wider.
Totally.
But then where that's like, okay, well, that's all fun for your abilities, but what about what you play with? And it's like, make weapons. Like these are not energies, make weapons. Like we have one SIVA weapon in Outbreak Prime. Make more. Make a whole SIVA suite of weapons, where they all have this like SIVA-esque ability. And one of the exotics we got with this season, and some people got it just yesterday, is Necrochasm. Necrochasm is now, I believe, the third gun that what's the word? Works with. There's a word for works with that's better than works with.
Synergy.
Yeah, that synergizes with those warlock gloves, the necrotic grip, necrotic grips, and it's like, so now we have all these weapons that are like harnessing this like hive magic, and it's like hive magic is not an energy type. We're never gonna have a hive magic subclass, but that doesn't mean we can't have hive magic armor and weapons.
Yeah,
And
because we're playing with it right now in the whole thing.
speaking of hive magic, we now have hive magic armor for hunters. And it's not sadly like the necrotic grips so that we can use Thorn or Necrochasm or Osteostriga, but it is cool in its own way because now we get to summon the Lucent Moths. And it's like, that's awesome. Like, give us more of that. Give us more of these things, like where it's like we're just kind of touching into stuff that we otherwise couldn't, and
You're right. And that's really cool that we've kind of gone in this direction, which I didn't anticipate early on. And I'm glad that they did, because not only do we get to get our own special supers and subclasses, but we get to play with what our enemies use as a
But
whole. We
properly.
first saw it. Yeah, exactly. We first saw it obviously in D1 with Thorn and some of the other little weapons. I guess not technically Thorn, because I guess the wizards do poison you in a way, but I couldn't think of anything else that really poisoned you from D1. But Outbreak Prime, we got the SIVA, and then Necrochasm, and then stuff like that. And then as we went on. Oh, and then we had Sleeper Simulant, which was tied to the War Mine. So it's really cool that a lot of our weapons get to do that.
Like I know they took Warmind cells out, but if they were to introduce a whole suite of just like Warmind weapons and reintroduce the legendaries as well, like exotics and legendary, and it's like these weapons generate Warmind cells that have varying effects. And maybe the effects, instead of being tied to the mods, they're just tied to your subclass. Where it's like, are you on a solar build? When you generate a Warmind cell on your solar build, anyone who destroys it will now explode. Are you on an arc build? Anyone can pick it up and they can. Are you on a void build? It'll give you that defense. And then they can go into it further. Are you on Strand? What does Strand do? What does Strand, what does Stasis do? What does potential third dark subclass do? And like just like really just and that could be like a thing with like the future of episodes where it's like here's a new suite of weapons. They play unlike anything you've ever played before, not because this is a pulse rifle that shoots six bullets instead of three, but because it has an additional effect through its origin trait that no other gun has.
I like that.
That's my dream of the future.
I'm glad that they've done what they've done so far. It's really kind of helping. We are, and as far as like Armory Define goes, this is counter, but this statement I'm going to say, we are saturated with weapons. Like, there are so many guns and weapons
We
that,
are.
like, it's just, it's overwhelming. I don't, I mean, I would, I don't want to be the one that says it, but I do sometimes feel like maybe making a whole bunch more weapons isn't the way to go. And maybe we should just reintroduce the, what everybody says is reskins. But like what you said, maybe what you said is a way to reintroduce weapons from a long time ago and make them more, what's the
Modern.
word? Make them, take all the Warmind weapons and give them SIVA or something. Take all of the weapons from Season of the Hunt and, make them do some weird Scorn ability or, a Zivu ability. I don't know. And then
Yeah, like
take all,
it can enrage an enemy, and it's like, well, that's not good because now it's enraged, but it has other effects, like, whatever the case would be.
Some of the new
Have a little
perks
give
that we
and
got.
take.
Some of the new perks we got in Season of the Witch now are like when you first read them, you're like, oh, that sucks. Why do I want to crouch and then stand up real fast and then all of a sudden have more damage and whatever? But when you use it, it's like, wow, that actually works really good. So it's funny that they're putting these really, like, I don't know what the word would be, but they're like abstract perks almost
Situational,
because they're
maybe.
not, yeah, they're very like, who does this? Who plays like this? But when you do play like that, you start to unlock some really cool, like, wow, that really works really well. And so it changes your play style because we all do this. We find our favorite thing to do, and then we just want to keep doing it over and over and over and over and over. But where's the fun in that, right?
The fun is getting
You
to do what
know,
I like to do.
which is understandable, but like, the whole idea is to keep you moving forward, not stale and staying the same. I mean, it's just like why people just didn't, people want new subclasses, people want new weapons. Well, maybe wanting new subclass and weapons goes deeper, like you said. It's just things need to be introduced that make you dive deeper into that weapon or that subclass.
Yeah, like the new strand aspect is apparently pretty interesting. The my a friend of my clan calls it the Beyblade for the hunters. And I mean, the warlocks one is so good that they had to fucking disable it. So
I
and
saw that.
the Titans, like, these are ways that, like, you take this subclass and it's just like, yeah, this is pretty cool. Like, look at these cool things that I can do with it. And they're like, all right, well, let's kind of like say, but what if you could also do this? And it adds a new way to play that subclass. It's deeper, not wider. And we need more of that.
Yeah, we
Because
definitely do.
that's what Light 3.0 was supposed to be in the first place. It was supposed to be deeper, not wider. And I would agree that it's deeper, but it's just, keep going. And they're doing that in Lightfall. So it's all good. It's all good. They're doing that for Lightfall.
Yeah. Well, it's good that we get to see it's good that we get to see a little bit of this, like what we're dealing with Eris. We get to use Hive power,
We're
and
using
then
Hive
we got
magic.
yeah we just not just the fact that we got a really cool grenade launcher, which is the Knight Boomer gun, but we get to actually use Hive magic and incorporate it in game. And the cards, my God, dude, the cards are the coolest thing. It's weird on the face of it because you don't really know what you're doing at first, but when you start to play and get an understanding of it, it changes everything. Like I went into the altars yesterday, and when I was playing the altars yesterday, I discovered a whole new way of playing those encounters because I had unlocked, some of the new stuff, and like some things are clicking. And before that, I was just like, oh, okay, this is really cool. It's kind of a struggle, But now when I'm jumping in, I'm like, wow, this is way different. I get to do this. Like, I can shoot, the crystals from far away now. I don't have to be right up close by, and
Oh, so you picked
just things
void.
like that. Yeah.
I picked solar.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah,
My
solar.
wife did art.
Oh, well, there So I picked solar because I've been running a lot of solar this season. I've just been enjoying it, and solar was really cool because it's when you pick up those solar crystals, they normally hurt you, but it gives you 5 seconds of restoration. So you pick it up and you
Yeah.
start running with it, and then your restoration runs out. So you just drop it and pick it up again really quick, and you get your restoration back. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'm fucking untouchable. Like I'm just running through everything, taking no damage because of the
Yeah.
infinite re restoration that I get. I'm like,
Yeah,
that's fucking
that does
awesome.
help. Yeah, that does help a lot. 'Cause
Yeah.
the only thing that's really frustrating is when you jump in the altars, matchmaking, and some blueberry tries to do number, tries to do a level three, and you're like,
Yeah.
dude, come on.
It's not gonna
And then,
happen.
you
Even
don't
with the full
get, you don't
team.
get, no, it's insane. It's impossible.
Yeah, I
And
mean,
so the more you have to clear them to progress. And so you could be in there forever if you have somebody that just does not understand and will not listen. You know what I
well,
mean?
I think there's a time limit as well, though, isn't there? Like you
Yeah,
can
which
fail.
feels it, you fail so much that you just are like, okay, we'll just give it to you.
Yeah, I put in the tier three on my first time there, and
Oof.
it sucked immediately, and I was like, oh, my bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I will give everybody the opportunity to understand it the first time, but if you keep picking it, I'm out, dude. I'm out. I'm not here to do this all day long.
I actually write down every blueberry I see that puts in a tier three. So if I ever see them again and they put it in a second time, I can reference it. They're gonna get some hate mail.
That's funny.
I'm just kidding. Don't send people fucking hate mail.
That's so funny. Yeah, no, definitely don't. I always give people the benefit of the doubt because,
Yeah.
like, we're learning, right?
Yeah.
And
Of course. Of course. No matter what week, because that's the other thing. People are like, "It's week four. How do you not know this? Like, I haven't played." That's how.
yeah.
This is my first day.
There are brand new people showing up like right now
Yeah.
and trying Destiny for the first time. We were doing the Spire, and we don't know what the hell we're doing, so we're looking for the little mysteries and stuff, and then
Yeah.
so every now and then you'll get that third person that just wants to speed run it. And so we're like, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
We gotta get this one little piece right here. And then all of a sudden you're just like 3, 2, 1, joining fire team,
Yep.
and it's like, oh. But it is funny to see brand new people come in and they're just following you and looking at you, waiting for you to do something.
Like you know where everything is, right?
Yeah. And I'm like,
Go ahead.
yeah. No, I was just gonna say, yeah, I don't know where anything is. Just follow me. Come be an idiot
Yeah.
with me.
On my first spire, my on my on my first spire, I was really slow because I was looking at everything, and there was one guy who wasn't running too far ahead, but he was running ahead, and there was the second guy who stayed behind at the entrance to every secret, and he's like, "Go in there," like he's like shooting in the doorway, and I'm like, "Oh, okay, cool," and I go and I get my
Yeah.
chest, and I think a part of the issue of that is it's a weekly chest, so you get it the first time, and then you don't give a shit anymore because all you get is rep.
Well, see, but that's the thing. Like, you got to do it every time because that reputation is a lot.
It's only like 10, isn't it? It's not that
Yeah,
much.
but that aggregates. So you get like three each spire encounter, and then
Yeah.
so that's 30. So every time you're in there, and then so when you go to the table, getting rep otherwise is really hard.
Yeah, I mean I do it every time, but
Yeah, me too. I try
I
to.
see where people are coming from when they don't. Because they're like, I already did it. I already got my thing. I don't care. You know, that
Yeah.
I just want to get this out. I want to go and 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 summon my witch's keys. I don't want to go get these things. Because, like, most of them, they don't actually add time. There's one this week two, where you get locked into a room with a dark blade that's immune to all damage.
Yeah, I
And
saw
that you
that.
just have to sit there. It's not hard or anything, but it takes time to do. And that
Yeah,
kind of
because you have to
holds you
wait for the
up.
door to yeah, you have to wait for the door to open
Yeah.
back up. Or just be fast.
I don't think you can make it out.
Oh, I thought you could.
I mean, maybe. That'd be interesting if you could. I'm pretty sure the door goes up the second the chest is grabbed.
I don't think it did because I watched my wife go in there and get locked in there, and the door didn't shut immediately.
So you got
Like she was
out?
in
You
there
got
for a
in and
minute.
out?
No, I just watched her die to the dark blade.
Oh, well, I think it's when you get the chest though, not when you enter.
Oh, so once you activate the chest, it shuts the door.
Yeah. So it's like you're all the
Oh,
way at the
okay.
end of the hallway. There's no getting that dis you're not closing that distance.
I got you. Yeah, that makes sense.
One thing that you mentioned that I just wanted to share. You mentioned the seasonal exotic, the Ex-Dyrus, I think it's pronounced.
Yeah.
Which is effectively a Hive Boomer, and it's a grenade
It
launcher.
is.
I saw this before I had played because I couldn't play for like the first 2 or 3 days. I saw this and I was like, oh, that's a cool sparrow.
This will never make a lore card, but I can just tell you what Ixdiris means real
Yeah, what's
quick.
it mean?
In the wild.
Oh, okay.
So if you think about it, it's like you find it in the wild, you know, because it's a Hive Boomer gun.
I
You
mean, it
found it in
isn't
the
though,
wild.
right? Like, it looks very different, doesn't
Right, I
it?
know it looks different. It looks totally different, but it is, and
Yeah,
it's
it just
not.
operates the
So
same way.
I guess what it's trying to say is that you picked up all these pieces of Hive and you made your own boomer gun out of the
Wait a
Hive.
second, look at that. It's got the fucking it's got the major arcana all on the bottom of it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all those little Eris pieces.
Yeah.
Which is a whole nother can of worms if you want to get into that.
I mean, maybe.
That's a really lore thingy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we kind of touched on it. One thing that I really wanted to bring up this season that I fucking lost my shit over. I was so excited. Void crystals came back and they've kind of existed forever now. Except
Yeah.
now they're not just a crystal that's purple. They are still a purple crystal, but they have a little dome around them that prevents you
Yeah.
from destroying them if you're not inside the dome. And with the addition of the new and improved void crystals, we now have solar and arc crystals, which I love. I'm like, yes,
Right.
why were these never a thing? Why was it always, oh, void crystals, they're special. You know, I never understood it. And having arc crystals be ones that you have to punch, and solar crystals be one that burn you, and void crystals have their own special little protection. I'm like, that's so great. And it adds more to the
You know
activities
what? I
and
didn't even think about that. That makes total sense
yeah.
because, like, in order to deal with the void crystal, you have to very much use your ability that leans into the void subclass. And the same with the arc. Like arc abilities are very punchy, punchy in your
Yeah.
face. So that makes sense.
Punch
And
and
then the
run.
solar, I guess. Yeah, I guess the solar thing is just burn everything.
Yeah, exactly. And I really like that. That was a really fun surprise for me in the that first Spire of Savathun that I did on the first week.
Yeah.
So I have some notes here that I'd like to just like kind of run through the events really quick. First and foremost is the opening cinematic of this season, in which Imaru, we're hanging out with Imaru right off the fucking bat, and he has a
Watch your
line
butts.
where he says, "Went to some leftover worm for answers. Too bad she sent you right back to us," which, as I said on our previous episode, I think we trust Asa, Asa trusts Sev, nobody likes the witness. And I feel like this is, I really feel like Asa is in on it with Savathun. And not in the sense that, like, she's like, oh, yeah, I hope Guardians fucking die, but that, like, Savathun is the answer to succeeding. So she's kind of like putting us in putting Savathun in our good graces type of
Like been
situation.
con she's been convinced by Savathun is what you're thinking.
Yeah,
And
like,
that's yeah.
that Sav because as I said before, Savathun has already succeeded in tricking the witness, right? Savathun hid the veil on Neptune. She's the best bet to defeating the witness. She needs to be involved because she's already done it successfully once, even if minor.
Wow. Well, it's interesting because I mean, she also tricked the traveler in a way. getting the light.
I mean, I think that's debatable. Was it a trick though, or was it just like, hey, I did it. Like, I deserve it. I've
Yeah.
proved myself that I deserve it, or proved to you that I deserve it.
Yeah, okay. So like then that's just how the traveler, I mean, 'cause we don't even specifically know. I guess that's the tricky thing,
Oh.
because we're the light and dark saga is coming to the end. So now what?
I actually have something on that. Let me see if I can find it quickly. Okay, yeah. So to your statement that Savathun tricked the traveler in the Altars of Summoning, there's the post-mission dialogue, and Amaru claims that all the ghosts, all the Lucent ghosts, were always Hive. Always Hive. They just didn't know it yet. So that kind of fits in the theory that it's never been explicitly stated, but that every ghost has their one destined guardian. And apparently that would also mean maybe your destined guardian, or Risen, is a Hive. So Imaru and Finch and the rest of them were always intended to be a Hive ghost. Like, and it was just a matter.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah. And so then to that, I also wrote in here, are Lucent Hive inherently bad? Are they bad just by circumstance? Are they just a little like us? Are they just like us? And they're just attacking back. Like, if in the Witch Queen, we let Savathun do her thing and didn't get in her way. And I know she was trying to take the Traveler, but it was for the Traveler's own protection, right? If we let her do her thing and we didn't fight her and we didn't engage violently, would they have engaged us violently? Because I don't think there's a single location with Lucent Hive that we aren't seeking them out. You know what I mean?
Well, we were sent there. Okay, so let's back up. So
They're on the defensive.
Keitel was like, hell no, Hive, they're coming. We gotta launch a cannon at them. And then
Yeah.
Ikora was like, hold on a second, we gotta study it first. And she's like, nah, forget that. And so she shoots it. And then they're like, oh wait, that didn't work. And then Ikora's like, okay, well, we need to infiltrate it somehow. And so then she launches the hidden. And now we have to be gumshoes and figure out all the little nuances and to be
Yeah.
detectives to understand how to get in there. And then we get in there and then we defeat Savathun, and then we learn a whole bunch of mess.
It's
So,
just, it feels
like
like
the
they weren't
ultimate,
aggressors, is what I'm
that's
saying.
true, but it also feels like the ultimate move was to force our hand, because by proxy, if she has an overarching motive, like she has an over, like the whole thing with the witness had to come to pass. We're being used by, like we're being used by proxy for that whole thing to come to the thing. Like if we didn't do what we did, we wouldn't be where we are. And so maybe she knew that. She had to force our hand to engage, and she knew that it was going to be a battle, and she kind of foresaw her own death in a way.
I mean,
Because
she definitely seems to have, with everything that she's got going on right now.
because even if we don't trust Imaru, there's a lot of truth to what he's saying. And even in that one dialogue, he was like, look, I'm not here to soft sell you. That's not my style. I'm more like cut and dry. And so like he might be a deplorable ghost, but at the same time he's shooting straight. 'Cause like even he didn't want to say what Savathun was trying to get him to say.
And I wanna touch back on that, but I do wanna try to go through this in order as well. But there's another thing I have to
Go
say
for
about that. So then we have our post-mission activity cutscene where Eris goes full Hive, and it's a temporary transformation. It is not a permanent transformation. However, there is dialogue that insinuates that it might end up being permanent, though it is not currently.
Right.
In this cutscene, Eris prays to the worm to a number of the worm gods, including a cell, and then she
Yes.
transformed. We did not see her consume a worm larva, but she went hive, so it seems like there was kind of like the so there's a couple possibilities. There's
Well, hold
another
on,
worm
real
god.
quick. Real quick, real quick. The artifact has two worms inside of it, the hive acol or the acolyte's hip bone, whatever we forged the hive.
Staff,
And
yeah.
so, yeah, staff. So the staff has been forged out of an acolyte's hip bone leg. And then at the top, there is a green crystal with two hive worms inside of it. And so the tithing system runs through there and gives the energy to Eris without her actually having to have a womb in or a worm inside her consuming her.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yes.
Interesting. Thank you for
Because at the very beginning of all that, she has all of these worms at her disposal, and she collects two of them, I guess, somehow, and then they become in that crystal,
Kind of an
and
off-screen.
that's, yes. And then we get the crystal, and then so whenever we're doing the seance move and the thing, we're evoking the hive power with the runes on the bottom, which are kind of like, what would you call it? They're kind of like kanji on the ground. And so when we pick the symbol on the ground in that seance type of ritual, that evokes the hive power, which those tablets, those symbols, they're very much tied to their like books of logic and whatnot, sorrows, all that. Yeah, so it goes through there.
So then, who do you think Cell would be? Do you think Cell is
Okay, so I gotta talk about this because this cannot be a Mandela effect. This cannot, I refuse to let this be a Mandela effect for me. Because in Destiny 1, when she was in the tower up there on the balcony, I can almost swear that she had a dialogue that said Cell, and we had a recording of it at one time, a really, really, really long time ago, but I've scrubbed the internet. I can't freaking find it.
I'll do some
This is
digging.
before she moved into the tower or down below with the other Vanguard
Yeah.
guys.
It's specifically from Within the Dark Below. Yeah.
Yeah. So just before that,
That's.
she showed up in the tower on the balcony, and we were like, who's this crazy person? And she had like these weird things she would say every now and then. And somebody, I remember specifically, somebody sat there and waited and recorded every single line, not when
Yeah.
she was down in the Vanguard area, but when she was on the balcony. And one of those was Cell, and they couldn't make out the word exactly, so they didn't type it in correctly or whatever, but there were like a couple of different spellings. There was Tell, Cell, Bell, Pell. They didn't know what the hell it was. And that little idle dialogue stuck with me in the back of my mind forever because one of the other ones she said was Akka, which we later understood to be an actual worm god. So it can't be a Mandela effect. It can't be. I refuse to allow it. And so I think it's out there somewhere, and I wish I could find it, but I can't. And so when she says Akka, Zeta, Cell, Cell's got to be at the top because Akka was under Zeta,
Okay.
right? I
Yeah.
would think
Akka was
if you
Zeta's
do it,
child. So yeah.
yeah. So,
By that hierarchy, yes.
yeah, and that's what always made us think Akka had everything to do with the Ahamkara, is because Akka could very much have been the worm that was responsible for that mess. We just don't know it yet explicitly. But that was the theory. And so if Zeta was the mother that birthed all the worms, what is Cell? The daddy?
That's actually what I was thinking as well.
Yeah. So that's a whole new can of worms.
I will look into it as well, see if I can find anything. But that
Yeah,
is kind of what I was thinking.
I need someone to find that, and I can't. I remember early on in D1, like within the first month, there were only a few people that were really recording and capturing stuff. I mean, Ishtar Collective didn't even start anything until The Dark Below.
Yeah, in the dark
So,
below.
yeah, and so a lot of that stuff early on was lost. I mean, there were even a couple of weapons that were in the beta that we didn't capture as screenshots. One of them famously was the Fun Police shotgun, which disappeared into the ether
Yeah.
because nobody recorded it. And then there were some other idle dialogues that didn't get captured. I remember one of the first people that did it was Datto. He actually had like everything the speaker said in a Reddit thread somewhere on the internet. And then there was a bunch of other dialogue just trying to understand what was going on.
Yeah. So then, yeah, that answers my question. We've been made into acolytes of Eris Morn, a new hive god of vengeance. We tied to her kind of as a clever way to not make Zebu stronger in our fighting, because now it's going to Eris.
So how do we, so here's where it gets really deep. So how do we, because the Hive think that Eris is the next heir and that somehow
Yeah, that's later
this
as well.
mean, yeah.
So
Oh,
let me
man.
just run through the rest of
Yeah.
this stuff really
Okay.
quick, and then we can talk about that. So in my first Altars of Summoning, Altars or whatever, I had the three Vex, the Prevailing Mind, the Proximate Mind, and the Prevenient Mind. These are the ternary minds. The Vex minds like that, when they come in threes, they usually have like a central theme.
Yeah.
I forgot to do
Past, past,
further
present,
research.
future.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
forgot to do research on what those could be. But there you go.
I did a little bit, but it basically means a similar thing like past, present, future, but it
Oh,
means
okay.
it in like a copy way, like not in a real like they're like a copy of them or
Yeah,
something.
because it
It's
used to
weird.
be Primeval, Eschaton. Can't remember the third. Those are the three from the Black Garden.
Yeah.
Ikora is worried about Eris and the holo projector message, but it's like, yeah, she's worried about Eris, but like, how long are we going to be worried about picking up things that we're told not to pick up? Like, we have stasis, we have strand, now we have hive magic. Like, at some point, you just got to stop.
Gotta let us do our thing.
We have a radio message from Eris where she explains the deck of whispers. Kind of just says, yeah,
Yeah, that
these are
was
a
cool.
thing. I mean, yeah, it was cool, but just to hit the beats, I am kind of downplaying it.
Yeah.
The Altars of Sorrow had, as I said, various dialogues. One is Amaru explaining that the witness's final shape is everything calcified, and it's
Yeah.
in an unmoving, perfect state, that he and Savathun are not a fan of it. They want their final shape, which is different. Amaru also claims the witness is doing something terrible to the traveler, and he says, "It's like your god is screaming, 'Help me,' over and over," which that's interesting.
Yeah, well, it's like he says specifically, he says something like, if your traveler spoke to you, you would hear what I'm hearing, which is basically the traveler screaming.
Yeah, no, that was the quote. It's like your god screaming, "Help me," over and over.
Yeah. That's freaky.
And then another one I had was Amaru claiming the loosened ghost, which I already said. So then we go into week two. Eris is back to normal. Transformation made her more refined. Sword logic is philosophy, once again confirmed. that sword logic is not some like actual rule of the universe. It's just what the Hive believe. It's really nice to get these things like fucking said again and again and again though. And she is quoted saying, "I will not deny them their dogma. I will embody it." Basically saying, "I will play by their rules and therefore be proven greater than them."
Yeah,
We
they actually they said fire with fire at one point when they were talking about Eris.
And so then we have a cutscene where we learn about the sword logic as well. In that cutscene, we see Eris lose her ghost in an attempt to kill Crota, and then she turned to Hive magic to survive, where she's putting on the bandana across her eyes. Eric and so now Eris is wielding the killers of Crota, Oryx, and Savathun as a knife. So that's how she's using the Hive logic eventually against Zivu. Did I say the Hive logic? The sword logic.
Sword logic, yeah. Which is the Hive logic. It's the same thing.
Well, and so we're gonna get to that as well. I have something about that as well. Then we have a radio message from Inmaru where he informs us about Zivu Arrath. Zivu promises revenge on us. Savathun calls Zivu a child. Zivu has believed Eris was always in charge, an heir to Oryx, as you said, and we are of her brood.
Yeah.
So that was what
So
you wanted to talk about.
when Tolan was pissed off at us for not taking Oryx's mantling
Yeah,
the
filling the
responsibility that
vacuum.
Oryx had, the other Hive believed that that was Eris that did that because she wielded us as a knife. So she's getting that
But it was
from
Mara.
those. Yeah, but well, I mean, I guess, but
But we know
technically,
Mara did that. She stole the tre she walked down the blade and stole the treasure on her way out. It just took 5 fucking years.
yeah. Remember the Willbreaker sword?
Yeah.
And then
Oryx's
she
sword.
gave it to us to yeah, she gave it to us to make our own swords.
Yeah, the fragments. Yeah.
And then so and then there was
That's an interesting, that's interesting that you bring that up, actually. That's
yeah, and then there was also the what the hell is it called? The scout rifle that damages you with Oryx's soul
Touch
inside
of
of it.
Malice.
Yeah, Touch of Malice.
She helped us create that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. You're making a very good point, yeah.
And who helped us make that sword?
So, Shax?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm just saying, man, because the Crucible, one thing we learned about in this season is that not only do we don't we know we don't only have to go to the spire or the altar, we can go to the Crucible to tithe power to Eris.
Shax
Because
has
in
always been a Hive. That's why he doesn't take his
that
helmet off.
yeah, that
That'd be
horn on his helmet
insane.
is actually his brain, his head. No.
Yeah, no, that would really be insane if he took off his helmet and he's like, "Yeah, I've always been a Hive.
That would be so fucked up, dude.
I'm the Hive God of the Crucible."
Oh,
Because
shit.
I think he's actually had lines like that where he's kind of like, "Yeah, you're tithing to me in that crucible." He didn't say it like that, obviously.
I
But
know.
you make a
Well, the fuck.
very interesting point about how Eris actually has kind of been, and that makes me think the events that we've had in like Shadowkeep and stuff. We were there for Eris. We were a friend to her in her times of need, and we prevented the dark future Eris, who was so strong that she actually overpowered Savathun and becomes the Witch Queen herself.
Yeah,
And
that was
so,
pretty cool.
I think you're on the ball with that. Like, there was a version of the events where Eris took all that power and she fucking ran wild. Excuse me, ran wild with it. We have two more things that happened this week. One is a Drifter Eris conversation that we just watched them fucking have. And Drifter makes a joke about sex with Eris. Eris explains what it's like to be a hive. She is vengeance, and they summon her back with vengeance, which is a reference to the I am cunning, I am war, etc. Drifter promises to be there for her when this is all over. So that's another thing. That's like the thing that's keeping her from going full hive is she has friends. You know, she's not alone in this anymore. I didn't write it down, but there was another thing, and maybe we actually talked about it last week, where Zivu was like, I can bring Oryx back, and it's like, no, you cannot. It was a final death, a true final death, because he died in his throne world. The events where Oryx brought Zivu and Savathun back was very different, just as Eris being summoned back with vengeance is very different. And after that conversation, we have another holo projector with Amaru, who comes in and is like, yeah, I hacked all this shit because I'm the man. And so Amaru has actually been ordered to bide his time. He reveals to us that Amaru has been that he's been ordered to bide his time in the event that Savathun died, because she knew that eventually the Vanguard would come looking for answers, and they would have to come to her. And I think she hedged her bets with Asa to kind of be like, you know, because one of the two truths and two lies is that she controlled the return of the planets. So it's like she died, and then she brings back Titan, and we go to Titan and we learn about Asa. Like, she waited for that right moment. We learn about Asa, and Asa says, you got to go talk to Savathun. I'm telling you, Asa might be able to be trusted, but she's in league with Savathun as well. So, enemy of my enemy. Wait for the Vanguard to come looking for answers, then strike a bargain. And so Imaru is revealing all of Savathun's plan to us, like saying, like how you were saying, Imaru is kind of shooting straight with us. But is that not actually bomb logic?
Yeah, it kind of is, isn't it?
So like he's shooting straight with us, air quotes. He's like telling us the trap that we're in. He's explaining the trap that we're in, because he knows that we can't get out, because that is empowering Savathun through the bomb logic, which again is just a philosophy. It doesn't actually have power. But maybe it does. It gets really fucking muddy with shit like this, where it's like it doesn't have power, it does have power.
So it's funny because like it's what they chose to make of the gift that they got from the witness, basically, because ultimately the knowledge is what unlocked the power, and what they did with that knowledge is what they constructed a way to use that power, which was the Hive Sword logic. And so that's what they made out of their universe, which was a parallel thought power that ran similar to what the witness is doing. It's just a different type of final shape, calcifying the universe, blah blah blah, winnowing everybody. And so it split amongst three, you know, the three sisters. So like they're all working in concert with one another, doing the same thing. But what's cool is how Eris chooses to use that same logic against them, and she found a neat little like hack to use their stuff against them, and without becoming them, hopefully without becoming them. And I think the only thing that's keeping her from becoming them is our influence. Because, like you were saying earlier, the dark timeline she did, but in this timeline we're preventing that because we have, you know, she has a support system, right? She has the Drifter who we allowed to, you know, come into our lives and give him a second chance, and then, you know, she has the Vanguard, and then us, and then other people that, you know, we're all like, hey man, we're showing compassion, we're doing what humanity's supposed to do, which is be compassionate and more human-like towards one another, and sharing and all that crap. Love, right? Love everyone. So anyway, Eris gets to use that fire against fire. But like you said, Ikora is worried that she's going to succumb to the Hive sword logic and then just go on down that timeline. So the only thing keeping her tethered or grounded is really us, her support system. However, so here's a couple of things. However, so one thing I wanted to say on that cutscene, which I found out was really cool, in that cutscene they used the image of Ziva Arath, and you can see her outspread wings, and you see the Hive battling the Cabal on the ground, which I guess is Tor Battle, and then you see like that whole image. That's an old image from way back, which has to do with Faust. There was an old film that it was Faust, and the Faustian bargain is something that we've talked about ad nauseum in Destiny with the Hive, because they took this bargain, which is a Faustian bargain. It's basically the only way to survive is to keep killing and consuming things around you. And so the Faust film does the same thing, the same imagery in the film, with this huge bat Dracula like figure in the sky, and down below is the city that's just being torn up and all the people are suffering. And so they use this imagery to kind of tie the two together. And so that led my mind to this thing, because this old film from can't remember exactly, 1826 or 1920, whatever the hell, 1926, this old film, why would they use that imagery right there for Ziva Arath? And it's because of the Faustian bargain. So if her tithing system is all war, and everything that gives her power is this war, this toil, as they've said in the game, who ultimately is going to who is this going to pay off for, right? Because Savathun's dead, technically, but could be revived, and the only one that can get a tithe is Ziva. And so she's tithing off of the battle, but at the same time, Eris is circumventing that by trying to say, I can grow that power by using your fire against you. And so she's going to get stronger. So the ultimate battle is this, like, I made a funny, and I was like, what if it was just Eris became a big badass kaiju and had to fight Zivu in the end, and
I mean,
we made her Godzilla.
so it feels like this season is pitching, not pitching, this season is the setup for next season, because we want Savathun's help to get into the portal, which we do in we want Savathun's help to get into the portal, which we do in Final Shape. And to do so, we need to take out Zivu. And we're not going to take out Zivu in some like end of season fight, right? Like it's she's not just going to end like that. She's going to end in season 4 in the dungeon, which means this whole like thing with building up Eris's tithes, like we're going to okay, we've gotten strong enough, or we've done all we can. Now just keep getting her stronger, and that's going to be like how the season ends on its final week. Keep getting her stronger. Keep getting her stronger. Keep getting her stronger. Excuse me. And then season 4, okay, dungeon time. Let's go fight Sifu. Eris is ready, but you need to also fight or something, right? But yeah. I think more is at play with Savathun, personally. I know Bungie said that they don't want Savathun to be a big factor moving forward, but that doesn't mean she's not going to be a factor at all. And so I kind of to go back a little bit on what you just said, or from what you just said back to what I was saying before with the bomb logic. I have the line here where the bomb logic was kind of invented. And this is Mara pulling the bomb logic off on Oryx, defeating the sword logic with bomb logic. And so she has been thinking of a logic of her own, of secrets and hidden designs. The universe has not grown simpler in its age. Whether life can begin, it has begun, and even in some places where sensible folk expect it should not. The great tendency has been toward intricacy. That's not right. How do you say that word?
Yeah, intricacy. Yeah,
Intricacy.
I do this all the time, dude. I'm so bad about this.
Toward sophistication, toward deep thought and richer ways of being, a sword is everywhere edged, but the pieces of a bomb do not look at all like weapons until they are assembled. And so
Yeah.
I think that's what all this is. I think it's Savathun performing a bomb logic escapade of like setting up her pieces that do not look like a weapon until it'll be fully assembled. And what we're doing is kind of fighting sword logic with sword logic, and Savathun in the background is building her bomb.
Right.
So.
Well, and see that's why to go back, and I hate to beat a dead horse, but that's why I go back to the whole ayat and the killing word is because it's the ultimate. It is the Faustian bargain. It's the ultimate bargain. It's the will to sacrifice anything to satisfy your limitless desire for knowledge and power. Like that's the definition of Faustian bargain, you know, which is ayat. Ayat is the same thing. It's, you know, this constant hunger and need to know what's beyond, so much so that it is the reason for you existing, because without it, you can't exist. And so it's just like sword logic, bomb logic, ayat, ayat, like it's all the same thing. And it's what the witness wants us to succumb to, is this, because that's the witness's problem. The people that created the witness suffered the same Faustian bargain because they weren't happy with what they had, this perfect, you know, life or whatever existence. And so they had to seek out a reason for it. And when they sought out a reason for it, they found one. And it was, holy shit.
Well, do you have any other closing statements you want to make on this season? So far, your first
Well, I mean,
impressions.
yeah, I guess I like it a lot. I think
I
it's a
do as
lot of
well.
fun. This is I've so like the replayability is a lot of fun. Lightfall was a lot of fun too for replayability. And then, you know, we just the seasons are getting better and better. Like they've finally, and I hate to be the person that says this is the one, but like they're getting there.
Yeah, no, this
They're
season, I
really
agree. This
getting there.
season has been a lot of fun. Especially 'cause it's like there's so many like facets to it with you're not just doing the activity, you're getting the cards for the deck of whispers. You're not just like, okay, I did the thing that gives me a new purchase token, and okay, there we go. I got
Yeah.
my purchase token done. You have options. Like this week, you could have picked Solar, Arc, or Void, and I picked Solar, and you picked Void, and your wife picked Arc. So like everyone's picking their own thing. There's like the diversity in it. Of
Yeah.
and now next week we're gonna do it again. In just a few days, we're gonna do it again. I'm gonna pick Void. I don't know what you're gonna pick. I don't know what your wife's gonna pick. And then the week after that, we're gonna pick it again. You know, and things like that where.
Yeah. And
They
it just
really
keeps
hit the
going.
sweet spot, I think. And
It
the
did.
secrets are
And that
simple,
and the
but they're
cards,
fun.
yeah, the cards make the whole play dynamic change. And that's what I really love, is to see that. Okay. So they've done two things. It's multifaceted. They've done two things. They've incorporated these new things to change up the way we play and to introduce a whole new dynamic that makes it more entertaining. But the second thing they did was they made it more attainable for people who don't know what the hell's going on. And so it's not extremely simple, in your face. However, the path to understanding how to play is very straightforward and much less complicated, if that makes sense. So if you're a brand new blueberry and you jumped into Destiny right now and you played Season of the Witch, yes, there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve. However, it's the way that they pathed it for you to learn is very straightforward, and I really appreciated that.
The only thing is that I'd say isn't very straightforward, and not everything has to be straightforward. There should be some things that it's just like, figure it out. You got to do a little bit, right? Is you look at the deck of whispers, and a bunch of them are locked, and it's like, okay, well, so that's for like later weeks. Some of them aren't locked, and I look at them, I'm like, how the fuck do I get that? And I want to just
That's
get
the
them all.
mystery,
Yeah, I want to just have them all now. And I think most of them are just play activities. And I'm like, all right.
Yep,
And
that's exactly right.
I,
I played
yeah.
Crucible and I got two or three of them. I played the Spire and I got several. The Spire is the good one for the top row, which are the ones that you unlock for the actual like one through the Roman numeral ones, which are like super important. And then even in patrols and doing lost sectors, you unlock some of them. And I think that's the important thing to understand is whatever the game is telling you to play next, go ahead and play that thing because that's how it's unlocking. You just don't realize it at first because you're like, oh crap, that unlocked for me. Why?
And the ones that are random are the ones that aren't that important. It's like, okay, well, what does this give you? Oh, it gives you an extra witch's key. Oh, okay, cool. And you would get that, you would
That's
be,
exactly
as you're
right.
going to like grind these out in Strikes or Crucible, it's like, all right, here's a witch's key for you. And it's like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's
Now I got
exactly
two.
right. Yeah, I can't wait to get all the cards and
Yeah.
figure out what's going to happen.
Do you think they're gonna build a full tarot deck?
Oh, I saw this on Twitter. Somebody was like, ooh, this would make a great deck of cards. And Bungie replied with the eyeballs,
I
So,
would love
yeah,
it if they
I
did.
imagine it's already made somewhere and they're just waiting to shell it out.
I don't think it's if it was already made, I think it would already be in the store. I think it was something that someone like in the know was like, we should do this, and they were like, I don't think people would like it, and they saw that tweet and they're like, we should do this. Like I told you weeks ago we should do this.
Maybe. A
'Cause like
lot of that stuff has to be pre-planned, though. Like, a lot of this stuff that we're dealing with right now was written a long time. Oh, we should shout them out
Yeah,
real
so maybe
quick
it's
before we
already in
close the show.
production. Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah. Doctor. Oh my God, I'm gonna destroy it.
I don't know who it is that you're trying to shout out,
Oh
so I can't
no.
help.
Oh, so bad, so bad, so bad, so bad. Just keep talking, I'll find it.
This is what you do to me when I'm like, just keep talking while I try to find something. You have like nothing to say.
Dr. Hazel
Oh,
on
Hazel,
Twitter. Yes. Hazel Monferton, if I pronounce that correctly. Did a fantastic job with all this writing and incorporating this season with Eris. Fantastic. Deserves all the praise.
Was
Season
she the lead on this season?
yeah senior narrative designer, seasonal content writer. So it's she's been tweeting out a lot. She's very proud of what she's done, and for all the shout outs, it's been awesome.
Oh,
So
she is Dr. Hazel. Look at that.
it's fun to see people passionate and really love what they do, and so
Yeah,
good
I'm
job.
really enjoying the story of this season so far, and we got two lore books filling up, so we'll have those for a later episode. I'd like to have at least, it looks like we have about half a lore book, so maybe we can just do half. Maybe not next week, but the week after type of thing. And then by the time that the rest of the book comes out, that could be like a part two episode. We'll figure it out. We got a lot to talk about, so we've
Oh
definitely
man,
got
I imagine
time.
it's going to get really crazy in the next few trips around the sun.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
This
so
season
far,
is shaping up to be some crazy stuff.
yeah, it I've enjoyed it so far, and I honestly just can't wait for more. I think it's gonna be really good. Yeah, the only thing that I kind of hope it gets like fixed, air quotes fixed, with like the episodes in the future. Having played 2 weeks of this season, I think it would have been like in my mind, even if we only have 3 weeks of content, I would love it if they just like squeezed 3 weeks of questing into one week. It's like, here you go. Here you go. Here you go. And after week three, it's like, well, what do we do now? It's like, you get weapons or you do the raid. You know, like you just do the game. And then when you don't want to do the game, you go do something else. Like you don't have to do it every fucking week.
Yeah, I think maybe that's the reason why it was a little lighter-ish on content is because we had the Crota raid come out this week.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it was that much lighter on the content personally. And that's what I mean. Like, it's not that at no point did it was like, man, this week sucked. It was just, I wish we could have more to do
Yeah.
in 1 week's time. Because then I don't, maybe it's because I don't play that much, but I imagine people who play more are feeling this even more than I am. But it's like, I kind of space it out as it is. But if I had even more to do, I'd just have more to do, you know, and that'd be even better. That's just me. So, if you want to find us, you can find us on Twitter at Loose Cannon Show, as it's spelled down on the lower corner there. On Twitter, we have our Linktree link. We will be posting this episode out onto YouTube, onto Anchor, onto all the major podcast places, Spotify and et cetera. I just knocked out my headphones as I was talking. So we hope you had a good time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.